Well, I too want to welcome you to the service this morning. I can declare to those of you that are regular here that your pastor Luke still believes in miracles. He asked me to have a shorter sermon this morning. He's praying for me. Probably known for a number of things, but short sermons isn't one of them. It is an exciting morning. Just blessed to see you young people that are prepared to make your declaration of commitment to the Lord and to the unseen forces of evil. And as I was thinking about baptism and the symbolism that goes along with baptism, you know, the symbolism of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the symbolism of the washing away of the sins, I was drawn to the scripture in Romans where it talks about our baptism is sort of identifying with the death of Christ and how that as we die to ourselves, we become alive in Christ. And the scripture before you there, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And so I'd like us to spend some time this morning thinking on the theme of living by dying. And I encourage you, if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn to John chapter 12. Because in John chapter 12, we find a paradox that says that if we love our life, we will lose it. And if we hate our life in this world, we will keep it unto eternal life. And it talks about how that as we die, we become alive. It's actually one of the many paradoxes of Scripture. I'm not going to read them all for the sake of time to shorten my message. We see unseen things in 2 Corinthians. We find rest under a yoke. We reign by serving. We are made great by becoming little. We are exalted by being humble. We wax strong by being weak. We triumph by defeat. And we live by dying. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20, reading through verse 26. "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And when they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, they asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Situation is that there were some tourists, some visitors in the city that came to the disciples. They obviously had heard about Jesus, and they wanted to see him. So they told the disciples, and the disciples went to Jesus and alerted him to the fact that these men wanted to see him. And it's interesting, Jesus' response was, "My hour has come." And we remember other times in Scripture where Jesus made the declaration, his hour had not come yet. And so now was the time for him to be glorified. And it's interesting, as you look at the beginning of verse 21, he uses a phrase there, "most assuredly," in the New King James. He's adding emphasis. He's wanting to get their attention. In the King James, it says, "verily, verily." New American Standard says, "truly, truly." The NIV says, "I tell you the truth." Jesus is getting their attention. He's wanting them to know that what he is about to say is extremely significant, and he wants them to get the point. And so what he does, he goes into the illustration of the seed, and he talks about how that this little seed that the seed needs to die before you see the potential of its life. And as we look at the seed, I got a picture of a little corn seed. Now, I know the illustration is a seed of wheat. I found one of corn. That as you look at that little corn seed, all you see is the shell. You really don't see the potential of life that is contained in that seed. In fact, as you look at that shell, as you look at that one seed of corn, it's not all that significant. In fact, if you were to eat that little grain of corn, it would be less than a calorie of value to your body. But within that little grain of corn is huge, huge, huge potential. But if you're ever going to see the potential of that little grain of corn, it needs to be willing to die. Because you see, if that little grain of corn dies and is planted, it'll produce a stalk that'll have 1 to 2 ears of corn on it. And I'm going for this illustration to just have one ear of corn, which has approximately 600 seeds on that one ear of corn. So out of that one little seed of corn, the potential is there to produce 600 seeds of corn. Now, in the next year, if those 600 seeds are willing to die, of course they have no say in it, but for sake of illustration, if those 600 seeds are willing to die, they produce 360,000 seeds of corn, all from that one little seed. You get where I'm going. If the next year, those 360,000 seeds of corn are willing to die, that's enough to plant 12 acres of corn out of that one little seed. They produce 216 million seeds of corn, enough to plant 7,200 acres all out of that one little seed of corn. Now, if those 216 million seeds are willing to die, that's enough to plant 7,200 acres. They produce 129 billion, 600 million seeds, all out of that one seed. Now, in the fifth year of growing, that's enough seeds to plant 1,160 million acres of corn from that one seed. The United States has a land area of a little over 4 billion acres. And so that one little seed, after 5 growing seasons, produces enough seed to plant a quarter of the United States in corn. The potential, if it's willing to die. Corn must be willing to die. It must be willing to go under the ground. It must be willing to allow the moisture to soften its shell. It must be willing to allow the heat of the sun to generate or to awaken the potential within it. But if it doesn't, it abides alone. One little grain of corn. And so I believe what Jesus was telling the Greeks and the disciples, that my hour has come to be glorified. What you see is just a shell. But you're really not going to see the potential of me until I die. And that when I die and I defeat sin, hell, and the grave, and I bring to bear the Holy Spirit that have come into this world, that'll begin to live my life through the life of Christians, you are going to then realize who I am. And so this morning, the lesson for us this morning is the same. We need to be willing to die so that the potential of Christ living through us is realized across the world. Oh, probably not die literally, although it might involve that. But die to our selfishness, die to our plans, die to our comfort, die to our wishes, die to our popularity, die to our fears, as the Lord leads us into the kind of responsibility and influence that He has for us, the reason we were created, as we die to our own self-centeredness and selfishness and allow His life to flow through us. That's when the potential of Jesus is seen across the world, to bring her closer home, across our communities, across our workplaces, across our homes, across the people that we impact. And so just quickly this morning, what does a dead Christian look like? Well, first of all, a dead Christian is a person who humbly and courageously ministers in the gifts that God has given him. And we're not going to develop these gifts, but they're found at three different places. In Romans 12, it has a list. 1 Corinthians 12, it has a list. And Ephesians 4, it has a list. And it's important, brothers and sisters, I believe, that we understand what are the gifts that God has given us. What are the things that we know are necessary for the fellowship of believers, necessary for the kingdom of God to function well? What are the gifts that God has given us? Are we willing to humbly and courageously minister in those gifts? The only way that'll happen is if we die to the fear of man. If we die to the fear of embarrassment. If we die to the distractions that rob us of time for ministry. If we die to the greed that consumes our energies in accumulation of material things, and if we die to our personal ambitions to make a name for ourselves, a dead Christian humbly and courageously ministers in the gifts that God has given them. Secondly, a person through whom the fruit of the Spirit is freely enjoyed. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that God's intention is to flow through us and produce fruit. We are to be a tree that is bearing fruit that is to be experienced by the people that experience us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that the Holy Spirit wants to be producing in our life. And if we are dead to self, and if we are open to the Holy Spirit moving through us, these are the kinds of things that come out. It was interesting for me to realize recently in a devotional shared by somebody else that the Bible talks about both a tree of life and the tree of life. Now, we know what the tree of life was. It was back there in the garden. It's going to also be in Revelation. But in between those two trees of life, we are to be a tree of life. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And so as we allow the Holy Spirit to infuse within us and move through us to produce its fruit and also to minister through us, those are the fruits of righteousness, and they are a tree of life to the people that experience us. In Proverbs 15:4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But if we're going to have the Holy Spirit, if we're going to minister, we need to die to the apathy that hinders love. We need to die to claiming our rights. We need to die to holding bitter and grudgeful feelings. We need to die to fear and discouragement. And so a question each of us needs to ask this morning, are we dead? Are we dead? Is life, is our self-centeredness and our self-consumption, we consume ourselves with ourselves. Is it dead this morning? It's interesting to me to note that the last verse that I read says, that the people who are dead are the ones that God honors. It says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, that where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now, that's not necessarily in this life. There's going to come a time when we will be rewarded. The Bible talks about it in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether it is good or bad. And in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about the times that our works will be evaluated, but that the works that are built on out of the right kind of stuff, the stuff that the Holy Spirit is producing in our lives, those are the works that are going to stand. In conclusion this morning, miracles still happen. Worship team, if you'd want to come on forward a while and get set up, it's not too late to become who you might have been. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And so if there's some death that needs to happen this morning, maybe you're recognizing that, you know what, I still am pretty selfish, pretty self-centered. Pretty much of my life is consumed by things that really aren't being led by the Holy Spirit. And the question I think we need to ask this morning, will we ultimately abide alone, just be that little seed? Or will the potential for our life be realized because of Christ? The symbol of the Christian faith is a cross. And when we think of the cross, we think of the price that was paid for our redemption. And unfortunately for many of us, we don't spend a lot of time thinking about the cross that we are to bear. The cross of giving up ourselves, of becoming a living sacrifice, so that the life of Christ can be produced in us. May God help us to that end.